Well, good morning. If you'll join me in song. It's good to see all this energy on a Sunday morning where we had lost an hour, so that's very good. Appreciate you being here today. So, all right, here we go. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Lord, never can this be the rock that God my salvation exalted. The Lord, never can this be the rock that God my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ died for me, and he took away my sin. I will
pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together in unity with a common belief that in you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Father, this alone puts joy in our hearts. Father, we thank you for bringing us the snow this past week. This is truly an answer to prayer and further evidence of your love for us. Father, we pray for our families, our membership. And we pray for those that are on our prayer list. And we thank you for all of the answered prayers. Father, we pray for our country. We thank you, Father, for exposing the truth when our government and the media spreads lies and propaganda and false narratives. And Father, we thank you for being in control. And Father, you are all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. Father, we praise you. We praise your name. Father, we ask that you would be with Charlie this morning as he delivers the message. We pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds as he does so. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Father, we thank you for that sacrifice that he made on the cross. Without it, we wouldn't have a hope of eternal life in heaven with you and each other. Father, we'd ask you to forgive us of our sins. In your Son's holy name, amen.
Well, if you are using a songbook this morning, we'll be singing number 587. 587.
Mm-hmm. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem gray, and all the whole day through, there's a silver light that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see, my friend, trust in his promises, friend. Sing and be happy, press along. Let the hope, no way, be faithful, look to
Next song will be 286. 286.
Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again.
If it is convenient, would you stand with me on this song and maybe in the next song? Again, if it is convenient, that is. That's the end of the song. Okay. I'm so sorry. That's what I get for skipping verse 2 and just doing 3 and 4. All right. The next song is 10:11. If you weren't with us Wednesday night, I think we had an awesome night of singing. It was so wonderful. We had some other members from another church out of Northwest, I think, church, wasn't it? They joined us too, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. This is one that was brought back, and I'm glad we sang it. So I'm hoping everybody knows this one.
There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, no love there's not in the dell. No place is so dear to my child. No spot is so dear.
You may be seated. Next song before communion will be number 595. 595.
If you're visiting with us, what we're about to do is really the centerpiece of our assembly. It's why we come together, and it's to remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus as we come around the table and we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine as a body. If you do not have the bread or the fruit of the vine that we had packaged out in the back there, raise your hand, we'll make sure you get that if you want to participate. Otherwise, I'll assume everyone has what they need. When I was a boy, my grandparents lived on a farm out in Pott County, which was near Tribby, Oklahoma, if anybody knows where Tribby is, on a little 120 acres, an old farmhouse that just creaked when you walked across the floor. And out behind the farmhouse, you could walk up the old rutted road back up into the edge of the woods. And there was a spot just at the edge of the woods that under the trees had some big sandstone rocks. For me at the time, probably about waist high. And it had a special meaning to me, even as a child, because in that old farmhouse back in the back bedroom, up on the wall, was this picture that my grandma had hanging up there. And it was it was a picture of Jesus in the garden on his knees, leaning over on a rock and looking up into heaven and praying to God during his passion. And as a child, that picture really struck me. It really gripped me. And then that spot back up in the woods, somehow I ended up making the connection between that spot and that picture. And I have this memories of more than once going up to that spot and praying and talking to God. And I know it was because I connected it with that picture. And that picture was more than a picture to me because it helped me connect with my need for God. When we take the bread and we take the fruit of the vine as Christians, what we're proclaiming is the passion of Christ, what he went through, the suffering that he went through so that we could be whole, so that we could have the innocence of our childhood again in our adulthood. I know any of us that are grown and have lived some bit of our lives have said this to ourselves: I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe I just said that. And the power of Jesus' death and resurrection, his body and blood, is that in our weakness, God's grace is sufficient. In our weakness, in our weakest moment, when we're most ashamed of ourselves, most unbelieving, disbelieving of what we just did, that God's power is greater through the grace displayed in Jesus' death and resurrection than anything we've ever done against him. And as we take the bread today, as we take the fruit of the vine, God is calling us to embrace that truth, that his grace is sufficient, his power is all-surpassing, and we have a sure hope of an eternity with God in fellowship with him because Jesus went to the cross for us. Let's pray together for the bread. Lord, thank you for choosing to come to earth and taking on a body that you then willingly laid down for us, that through your suffering, your crucifixion, and the beatings, and the rejection that you took, that we're healed, and our sin is atoned for. And as we take this bread, bless us to focus on our own weakness, our own sin, but even more so, your grace and your power that delivers us from that and brings us into full fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for the fruit of the vine. Lord, you said that the life is in the blood. And in that truth, you poured out life for us by shedding your blood for us. So as we take this fruit of the vine, turn our hearts and our minds fully to the life that pours out over us, that covers us and renews us and resurrects us forever. And we praise you and thank you for the precious, pure blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us whole and one with you. in his name. Amen. To say what a blessing it is to be forgiven like that is the understatement of the year. But I want you to just reflect on truly what a blessing, what a blessing, what a peace that we're forgiven. It's all atoned for, it's all covered. And we spend the rest of our lives just living out of gratitude and making our lives a similar offering. Just to give, to love back. Charlie's mentioned, you know, more than once about God has created these good works in advance for us to do. That's what this church is all about, is trying to live out a faith that says, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for washing me clean, giving me another chance and another chance and another chance. And you just keep coming back and loving. And so as a body, we want to live that out, and one way that we do that is by giving of our resources and the money that God makes available to us through the training and the education and the health and the opportunities that he pours out on us. And so we're going to take this time to pray and be mindful of that. Is there one or two baskets? And there's two. There's two baskets back in the foyer as you leave today. Be mindful of that, and as the Lord moves you, express that gratitude through the giving of the resources he's provided. Let's pray about that for a moment. Lord, we want to be fully aware in this moment, but throughout this day, throughout the days ahead, however many more days you give us on this earth, of all good things come from you. Everything we have, Father, is we acknowledge and confess is from your hands, and you are a gracious, giving, loving God. And we pray that we would increasingly be aware of that and in that be gracious too, and give of our time, of our energy, of our resources. And as we give today financially, may we do that joyfully, thankfully, mindful that all we have has simply been entrusted to us. It's yours, and we're simply managers and caretakers of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Next song will be number 470, 470.
I heard.
And if you are using a book, if you'll mark the Song of Invitation as number 662. So here's a song we've been singing on Sunday nights sometimes Wednesday. I hope it goes well. We'll see. But here we go. Every time I feel spirit, and if it is convenient, would you please stand with me for this one more song here? All right.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. On the mountain where my hopes hold, out of his mouth came fire and smoke.
Amen. You may be seated.
If you grab your Bibles, and the scripture reading will be out of the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 49 and 50. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be here. The sun is shining, got a little moisture on the ground, and not as much as we thought, but good enough for now. God gave us what we needed, and we'll take it, that's for sure. A couple of birthdays this week. Zelda Miller, her birthday is on the 14th, so reach out to Zelda. I'm not sure, is she here this morning? There she is. She's hiding behind some taller people. Happy birthday to you this week, Zelda. It's good to see you this morning. You're welcome. Blake Blackburn, his is on the 16th. Blake, happy birthday to you, bud. Have a good one this week. Nate Green is on the 19th this week, so be sure and reach out to Nate. And today is the day. Old Dan Proctor, happy birthday to you, Slick. Slick on top. Just hope you have a great day today, Danny. Hope you enjoy it. Hope it's a good one for you. I've got something to read here, and I appreciate this being printed in bigger type, so I didn't have to use my glasses. To my church family, I want to say thank each one of you for your continued support and prayers for the past three of the darkest months of our lives. Lord wanted to come back to worship so much, But every Sunday that he was at home, he would get up and get dressed to come to worship. By the time he spent all of his energy getting dressed and walked out to the car, he could not go any further. His spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. My family and I are hurting, but we know that Lloyd is not, and that helps tremendously. We can't express enough our gratitude for all the cards, texts, emails, prayers, and support. Our God is an awesome God and makes everything work as it should. He has given me incredible peace, and I have felt the presence of God through everything. God has always taken care of us, and I don't expect him to stop anytime soon. Amen to that, by the way. To God be the glory. Sharon. Sharon, we love you. Love your family. And we will be with you, and you are right. God ain't quitting. He's here with you and going to be from here on out. So thank you for those words this morning. As we're going to miss Lloyd greatly, his presence, and he won't be out of our hearts, that's for sure. Should have read that afterwards. I might need to tell a joke to lighten this up. So last week, we talked about washing of the feet and how Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and I tried to give a visual of that, and really what I wanted to do, I told you I wanted to bring a bowl up, but what I really meant by that was I wanted to have a basin of water and bring it out, and then I was going to show you to the extreme. I'll wash your feet, but I was going to put on them long plastic gloves that you use to palpate cows with. I was going to put on a pair of them, and then I was going to put my chemically rated gloves over that'll go up to your elbow when I'm mixing chemical for spraying pasture and fertilizer. I was going to put them on over the palpation gloves. Then I was going to put on my hazmat-rated mask, respirator, that is rated for any and all chemical. And now I'll wash your feet. I was going to use that as a visual, and I decided it would take maybe too long and maybe not do what I wanted it to do. But I was wanting it to express that Jesus was willing to get down there and get dirty, and how I'm really maybe not that willing to get down there and get dirty to serve others. And then you can always count on Tim. Tim came up to me Wednesday night, and he said, "Man, you got to see this." So anyway, there's a clip from All in the Family. Al Bundy, Married with Children. Thank you for correcting me. Married with Children. So, Al the pal. What was his wife's name, Tim? Huh? Peg, that's right. So Peg come home, just dead on her feet. Sits down. "Honey, would you rub my feet?" He said, "I wouldn't rub your feet if a genie would come out." That's right. Even if a genie would pop out of somebody else's feet, we're not going to rub them, and we're not going to wash them. By the way, that has nothing to do with today's lesson, but I just wanted to follow up from last week and remind us we don't need hazmat suits or palpation gloves or chemically rated gloves to serve. Jesus was willing to get dirty and serve others, and we need to follow suit. This morning, we're going to talk about our one another's, and this morning is to be at peace with one another. To be at peace with one another. Wow, I tell you what, don't we think that peace is something that is a lost item in this day and time? Isn't it something that's just totally seems gone from this world? Does anybody really have any peace? Does anybody have a handle on peace? Do they have they seen any of it? I mean, let's ask the people in Ukraine if they would like to have some peace. I'm sure they would. They've expressed it. Let's ask the people, lots of people in Africa, millions of people in Africa, about peace. Wouldn't they like to see some peace? All the people in neighborhoods that live in constant turmoil and knifings and gunfire and drugs and all of those things so prevalent in so many neighborhoods in this country, don't you reckon they would like to have a little bit of peace? Well, let's just take it a little closer to home. Let's think about the church. Let's think about brothers and sisters in Christ. Wouldn't it be neat for this to be able to be the example of peace to one another? And wouldn't that look different to the world? That, wow, hey, these people are at peace with each other. Look at them. Look at them. They get along, and they're at peace with each other. And not just tolerate, and well, we come through the doors, and we was able to sit in here and not have a barroom brawl. I said that not too long ago to a friend of mine, a neighbor, and he said, well, hey, you Church of Christ preachers are going to tell me what a barroom brawl looks like because the Baptists don't know what that is. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, let's go out Friday night. But wouldn't it be neat if we could really example peace? Too many times that's not the case. Peace doesn't transcend throughout us. Too many times we're caught in turmoil and fight and strife and stress. And peace is not a part of our life. You know, the longer you're without peace, possibly the harder it is for you to obtain. I mean, you think about it. Think of all the people that have their whole lives have never known peace throughout this world. Luckily, we're not that way necessarily in this country. I mean, for the most part, we have peaceful lives. We can gather peacefully here this morning, right? There's not people standing out there trying to shoot us week in and week out. I know there's been some of those things take place in various places in this country a few times, but for the most part, we get to gather in the name of Jesus in front of Lord God Almighty in peace. I don't think we need to take that for granted, brothers and sisters. And too many times I think we do, and what it winds up doing, we take that peace for granted, and we forget, and then we wind up stirring up unrest amongst each other. You know, Matthew 5:9 talks about, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, this is one I'm probably not necessarily too guilty of being called that. I was looking for the scripture that said, blessed are the troublemakers, and I was having trouble finding that one this morning. I sure wished it was in there. Then, does anybody else wish that one was in there? Blessed are the troublemakers. Blessed are the pot stirrers. Blessed are the gossipers. Blessed are the loudmouths. Blessed are the ones that have diarrhea of the mouth. Blessed are... Man, I Shouldn't have said that one. Shouldn't have said that one. I just had a case of it right there. It's not there. But what is there is blessed are the peacemakers. And there's more to it than that. It's not just, oh, well, great, I can be peaceable and be a peacemaker and everything's hunky-dory. No, there's a second half to that scripture that we tend to not quote very often because we're so heavy on the blessed are the peacemakers. I'm a peacemaker. Let me tell you how peaceable I am. For they shall be called the sons of God. They shall be called sons of God. Jesus is saying here, this won't be the last time we say this morning. Jesus is saying here, if you're not on the peacekeeping side, you're not going to be called son of God. If Charlie Ward's not on the peacekeeping side, if he's on the pot stirring side, if he's on the troublemaking side, if he's on the one that's sowing discord and dissension, he's not going to be called a son of God. If Steve Taylor is stirring up trouble, if Jim Weaver, the fact is both of Jim's sitting there close together, if both of y'all stirring up trouble instead of keeping peace, and I'm going to tell you, the front Jim, he's so quiet it makes me nervous. Quiet don't mean peacemaking, but it may. But if we're stirring up trouble, we're not on the peacekeeping side, and we're not going to be called sons of God. That's pretty plain, brothers and sisters. Now, that's just simple English. I am a simple man, and some say simple-minded. Could be. But even I can understand this, that it is good to be a peacemaker and will be called a son and a daughter of God if we're going to make peace with one another. I think it's a good thing to be a peacemaker. I know it's a good thing to be a peacemaker. You know, and it's hard to do. It's hard to do. You know, my dad he's like a peacemaker on steroids, and it just drives me nuts. My whole life has been tried to avoid controversy at all costs. Whatever he can do to avoid controversy, and I'm out there, whatever we can do to get in the controversy. Well, if it's here, let's just get it done and get it over with. Let's knock some heads, and then it'll be solved. God has a different plan for this knocking the heads deal. Let's knock heads with him by making peace. Anybody got an argument this morning? I'm ready to knock some heads. Anyway, blessed are the peacemakers. So that's Matthew 5:9, but there's some more to it. So how do we make peace? How can we do this with someone that we're having strife with? Someone that is giving us trouble, someone that's giving us fits, someone that is stirring up trouble and dissension and controversy and meaningless arguments. There's no point to them. How do we deal with this? Well, not too far from here, Jesus lays out some guidelines in verses 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we just hear that a while ago? We sure did. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What he's saying is, hey, life's going to be life. There's going to be good things that happen to some sorry people. And there's going to be some good things that happen to good people. Just because we're not getting rain right now doesn't mean we're unrighteous. And when we do get rain, doesn't mean we're any more righteous at that point. But boy, howdy, do I love it when we're praying for rain. You just think about last Sunday, we got some rain on a day when we prayed for rain. There's lots of days we don't get it when we pray for it, but they lead up to that when we do. And what a great example for our kids to see that example of us in here praying for rain and getting it. We are to pray for those who are not peacemakers. We need to pray for ourselves to be this, though, brothers and sisters. It's not just about praying. We always assume it's somebody else that's a troublemaker, right? That's what we always assume. Ron is always going to assume that Annie's the troublemaker, and Annie's going to always assume that Ron's a troublemaker, right? Right. If y'all haven't met these wonderful people yet, please, please do. These are some sweet, sweet friends of ours from Missouri, and they have come to visit. They was here at the Lazy. Come say howdy. Great people. We're always going to assume it's the other person that's the troublemaker. Jesus is telling us directly we are to be the peacemaker, which means we need to self-examine ourselves to make sure we're not the troublemaker, right? We're not the one causing the strife. First Thessalonians 5:13 is another one that tells us that you esteem the very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we can go on and on about this deal, about Scripture giving us this idea of living in peace with one another. Sometimes this is hard to obtain, isn't it? In the things of this world that get thrown at us, it is hard sometimes to find peace. Since Sharon wrote that beautiful letter this morning, at Wednesday I went down there and talked with Lloyd and got to visit with him. And he was looking for that time when he was had said all he said, and then he was at peace with it. And he got that done. He got that accomplished. He was at peace with what was coming, and he relaxed and let go when he got said what he wanted to say. And he found peace. Now, that's not the only time Lloyd found peace in his life. I'm glad he had it right there, and he needed it. And he was able to get it. This is not something that we need to find one time in our life. Oh, you remember back in 1988? There was cattle everywhere. And amongst all of it, they were jumping the pens, and things were going terrible. But when it was all said and done, we found peace with each other. You can ask my kids if I had any peace yesterday. This was brought up this morning. I was filling in for David, by the way. He's out with pneumonia, and please keep him in your prayers. But we were talking about faith and talking about various things, and then it got brought up about my little temper tantrum yesterday. And so I don't mind expressing to y'all how little peace I had yesterday for a moment. Wind's blowing. It was yesterday afternoon about, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something to that effect. We're trying to tag. I am really far behind on tagging. We got about 50-some-odd calves on the ground and maybe got about 10 or 12 tagged. I am way behind on tagging. Long story short, wind's blowing. I grab my little grass rope. It's kind of thin and lightweight, but, boy, it is slick for roping calves. It's nice, boy, just right around their neck, just slicker than snot. So I really like using that one, except in wind, being lightweight and more limp, it's no bueno por nada. In English, translated, is no good for nothing. But I get the grass rope out, and I go to throw it on this calf, and by the way, calves are a little hard to tag. There's an art to catching them from the feed truck. Don't want to stir up a bunch of wild and woolly stuff. I'm getting to the age where the calmer we are, the better I like it. Well, I go to swing and the wind just blew up like a gale all of a sudden. And the stinking rope, the loop was just collapsing and trying to hit me. And, well, the calf sees the commotion of me swinging the rope, and he starts to run off. And so I just heave it out there and hope that it falls on him somewhere. I didn't care where. Neck, leg, tail, something. It hit him in the side, caught nothing. He ran off. Now I'm mad. So I come back to the truck. I got a stinking rope. So I come back to the truck, and I throw it in the cab. I said, give me that nylon rope. So Lindy pulls out the old nylon rope. It's stiffer, heavier. The wind won't affect it. So I get it out and get it fixed because it all got jumbled up in the back seat. And then I turn around, and the calf's run off by this point. Now I'm disgusted all over again. So I turn to get in the seat of the truck, and I have a nice saddle blanket over my seat to keep it from getting dirty and wear out the material in the seat. You can pull that seat. The truck's got 220-some-odd-thousand miles on it. The seat looks brand new for the most part. And the blanket is folded over and wadded up. And I said, what in the world? And I turn around, ah! And I threw the rope on the ground in a wad. How'd that blanket get like that? And I throw the blanket back up so I can get in there. I pick the rope up. Well, now I got to refix it because I watered it up when I threw it on the ground. I get in the truck. I put it in the driveway, pull around there. Finally get them three calves tagged. I showed that rope, by the way. It didn't miss on them three calves one time. Showed it who was boss. I didn't have any peace in that moment. So come to find out, Lindy got over to turn down the radio in the truck, and the blanket fell over when she did that. So I get in the truck, and their eyes are like this, and Lisa says, my wonderful, beautiful wife, so sweet is she. She says, I sure wish I'd have had my camera going on my phone so I could have played that back for you. To see, so you could see how silly you looked. It's a good thing we hadn't had rain, because if that ground would have been soft, that rope would have been about 3 foot in the ground. I mean, I yard darted that sucker. Gah! What in the world? I didn't have any peace. The point is, we need to dwell in peace. We need to dwell in peace. This doesn't need to be something that we occasionally find. Last year I had it one day. I hope this year I might have it one day. Maybe next year I'll have it 2 days. This is a lifestyle, brothers and sisters. Sorry, I just bit the cough drop. It hit funny. We are to dwell in this. Let's go to James 3, 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior. Not throwing a rope in the ground. His deeds in gentleness of wisdom. Not getting mad. Gentleness. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Oh, hang on. Did I read that right? No, I didn't. Let's go back. Sorry, 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Very powerful. Let's go back to the first of that, if you don't mind. I'm going to try this out and read it all in one whack. It's going to be much better if I read it correctly. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of his wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Well, there is a ton there in James 3 to look over here about peace. And honestly, I am doing a disservice this morning by not actually making James 3 its own sermon. I've been up here for a while and I've got a long ways to go. I think what we're going to do is have round two next week about peace. Or we can stay another hour. It's up to y'all. What are we? Should we take a tally? No. There's a lot more to cover about peace. And I think you're getting the general idea. Next week we're going to start with James 3 on peace. So if you wouldn't mind this week, look at James 3 verses 13 through 18. Read that, go before it and after it, and let's read about peace here and what it's saying about the fruit is and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, this morning, peace may not be something too awful close to you. It may be something a long ways away from you, something you haven't seen in recent time, years, months, days. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe you have not made peace with God yet. And you haven't said, Lord, I'm willing to yield my life over to you. I'm willing to say, you know what? There ain't a doubt that I need Jesus to wash my sins away. And that's a pretty good start on peace right there, brothers and sisters, just to know without a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to seek and save the lost, which is all of us. What a wonderful story to tell, and that there is peace to be had through God Almighty and his Son, Jesus. If you need to get a hold of a little peace this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him.
Be seated.
Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we are appreciative and we thank you so much for your Son, our Savior Jesus, thank you for being generous to folks that didn't really deserve your generosity. Your love, outstanding, dear Father. Thank you for this. As we journey through life, our prayer, our hope is that we, as a congregation of your people, not only seek love and peace, but seek it to its fullest. May we be makers of peace. May we love each other enough to do that, dear Father. This congregation, as we bind closer to you, may we realize we're binding closer to each other. Thank you once again, Lord, for leading us by your hand, by giving us your word, so that we don't have to just wonder. We can pick up your word and read it and say, thank you, Lord, for helping us out. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our closing song will be number 755. 755.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this church and this family, and thank you for Charlie and his word today. Lord, we're just so blessed to be able to come here and study your word, and hopefully every week we come here and we take with us a little more than when we had when we got here. Lord, help us to all find peace and be at peace with one another. Be examples to one another. Lord, we're just so blessed. Thank you, Lord, has been mentioned. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the moisture. And just keep us in mind and all that we do and all that we go through. Watch over us and guide us. Forgive us, Lord, when we sin. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.